are at 6 o'clock.
I was off by 3 seconds.
Save
the day.
We are returning from recess, and now we have our work session. Thank you all for staying, for being here. Economic Development and Infrastructure, Mr. Nichols, our town administrator.
Yes, ma'am. A couple things. This is not necessarily the new whiz bang. You've never seen this stuff before. A lot of it's compiled from things that the county's been doing for a number of years and trying to put together in one place in preparation for you for two reasons: to get you all on the same page information-wise and to prepare you for budget season. This is, as I've mentioned multiple times before, and my finance director keeps reminding me, this is going to be a difficult year because it's not last year where we had a little bit of cost savings because of the not having to pay, make a debt payment. It's not next year where we've already got a reassessment done. It's fiscal 15, and it could be difficult. But we also have a kind of a bent towards economic development, and economic development may require some infrastructure. So I want to talk about those things. I've got the staff kind of up front, so from my perspective, this is meant to be interactive and engaging. And if you've got questions, we'll just pop them up quick, and I want them to chime in, and for you all to chime in, please. And then I will, you know, give you copies of this. Of course, we've just been adding to it even up through today. And a lot of the data tables are in your share files that we loaded up to that Mrs. Weaver loaded up to share file. That first one, especially the tax tables of the various times. So let's kick it off and look at the story.
Board members, you don't need to be recognized to speak. This is talking back and forth.
Yeah, just
this
work
is open.
And there, and I don't have any motions or anything like that. This is really just information and dialogue and discussion. So.
Right. Okay.
So if we value these kinds of things, which we talk about all the time, public safety and education and human services and the types of things that we value, it's clear that we fund them because that's where our money goes. We put things into education and public safety and health and welfare, and even indeed into debt service. But that's where our money goes now. If that money has to come from someplace, and you can see by this chart that it predominantly comes from our local taxes, not from federal money or from state money. It comes from our pockets here, whether it's from business taxes or property, personal property taxes or real estate taxes. It comes from us in Fluviana County. And we're at 93.7. And what's that 93.7 mean? That's the big problem for us right now, is that homeowners account for 93% of our proper real property taxable values, and business and commercial interests only account for 7%. A much more ideal mix would be 70-30, and you can't continue to grow, change, modify, do with 93.7 unless you just price yourself out of the market almost with our residents and homeowners. So you've got to do something to change the 93.7 mix if we want to be something different or fund something different than what we're just doing today. So in order to transform our tax base, to have more available revenue, to fund the things that we really value, and without overburdening your residents, you're going to have to, in some case, sometime sooner or later, invest in infrastructure. Because infrastructure is what's going to drive the business development, and the business development drives us changing that 93-7 ratio to something closer to 70-30. I'm not suggesting that it has to be 70-30 or that it can't be 80-20 or whatever. I'm just suggesting that at 93-7, you're not going to be able to have enough financial resources to change how we fund or what we fund in the total. You can move stuff around a little bit between piles, but unless you cut deep to the bone on people, because that's the expensive resource you have, or stop capital projects, you're not going to have enough money to change to do something else. So you need revenue from someplace. Now, you've got lots of studies and lots of information and lots of work out there that's been done already. These are all loaded up to your share file. You can look at those. But even look back in 1997, Fluviana Alternative Revenue Resources Report. That's when Mr. Sheridan's brother was on the board at that time. You know, you've got things from way back, from 1997, measuring economic impacts of projects and programs. A lot of these studies were done in Fluviana County for Fluviana County. Some of them are national studies, some are regional studies. But we've got plenty of information with which to make decisions. But we've got to take some action on it. The board has to decide to move forward or stop moving forward so we can work on something else. We just need direction.
Can we have a glossary of the FTDP and so forth, all these acronyms that we use, what they mean? for new people, VEDP, JLARC.
Sure. Very good point. We'll put a list together. But this one, just as a couple of explanations, this one's actually changed. Now it's the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development.
Right.
So when you hear CVPED and TJPDC, mm-hmm. those are big common local ones. That's our Planning District Commission and our Partnership for Economic Development. But then when you get down here, some of these state things, VEDP, Virginia Economic Development Partnership, that's the state group that Mr. Popowicz works with. JLARC is the Joint Legislative Something Review Committee, the Joint Legislative.
And that's a state.
They look at legislation to find out what the impact of it is, and impact of certain types of taxes and programs and issues in the state of Virginia.
And BPOL is BPOL.
Now that report,
business,
that
professional and occupations licensure tax.
Right.
Is that the book you're talking about? That
the JLARC?
No.
BPOL. Oh, this. Yeah, this.
The BPOL report.
Oh, the BPOL report is a large one. What I put is the one page summary of it on here because it's easier to read, and there's a link in it to the full report about BPOL and changing from a gross income to a net income basis. It was a state report, but it's got a lot of good information just about BPOL in general. So a lot of these are really meant to just get you up to speed.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily try to read all 628 pages of this tonight, because there's 628 pages there, but I would, unlike in this first one, the Central Virginia tax rate comparison, that's 7 pages of charts, which you'll see tonight in the presentation,
mm-hmm.
that compares your taxes to all of us, all the counties surrounding us. All the counties surrounding us. You'll see a graph of that here a little later on. The economic development planning in bedroom communities is a case study that was done in Chatham, North Carolina. It's a good case study about growth and development. But there's a lot of overviews here, and there's a lot of really good work that was done by the Economic Development Commission back in 2010. These two reports right here, the Business and Strategic Plan and the EDC Business Plan, our Economic Development Commission, which is not in place anymore, consolidated under EDA, Economic Development Authority, but those are really good documents with really good, meaty information. What I'm suggesting is that we have studied and studied and studied, and we have all the information at our hand. You all have to make a decision on which way you want to go. And I know those are terribly difficult, and it may mean tax changes or revenue changes, but you're going to sooner or later have to make a decision if you want to fund things in a different way than we have in the past.
Did you pull anything from the 2010 census that tells us what percentage of people over 65, what percent of poverty?
It's not there because that exact document is on our website.
Oh, it is.
If you go to About, the very first button on our website, all that census data and the information about gender and race and age and ethnicity and mix and growth and incomes are all on that page. So let's talk first about infrastructure development, you know, the water, the sewer, the roads, that kind of stuff, because it's kind of a core basis on regular business development. And let's talk about the things that we've been looking at already from a water basis. You've had lots of studies, you've had lots of committees, you've had lots of boards look at it. We've studied and restudied. There have been some things done. These things on the bottom have been done in the last few years. You know, the James River Water Authority was created in 2009, but then it sat for 4 years and didn't really do much more after the end of 2009. Now it's kind of back up again, and the board is meeting on a regular basis, and there's a plan to move forward, but it's going to require some funding. The elevated storage tanks for FSD are fantastic. You need them, but you've got lots of other aging infrastructure that it has to be taken care of. The Palmyra Sewer Treatment Plant is not going to be a moneymaker. You found that out. It's not going to be expanded very much. Probably can't be expanded because of the requirements and nutrient requirements. If you can just break even with that, it'd be great.
But it was built on that assumption
indeed.
That it could be expanded. And then, as I understand, the state or the federal government changed the rules. How can you work that way?
Mr. Weaver, I don't know how to change that. All I know is that's the norm.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
our whole career,
the norm for the government.
It changes and it changes and it changes. The change we have to deal with, well, look at Louisa County and they're trying to dump effluent from Zions Crossroads area. They were dumping into a creek. I don't remember the creek name up there. But now they have to run it to someplace else, to the South Anna, because January 1st of last year, or January 1st of this year, the new zinc regulations came into place. Came from EPA down to state to us, And so now they've got to find a different place to dump it, because there was no zinc limit before, and now the zinc limit, they've exceeded. We will face the same kinds of things over and over. The radon report today, maybe 2 years from now, the EPA will say that it's not 4 picocuries per liter. Maybe it's 2 picocuries per liter. Whole different problem then. I don't know how to fix that, except that I think we have to assume that the rules are going to change. And you've got a plan for a future that maybe you can't even hardly see, because the future is going to be different than it is now, and you just got to reach out that far, I think. Anyway, the Water Committee, Citizens Water Committee, one of the great efforts in the county, there were 13 different water options. But we've never gone forward and approved a set plan. Do this. The staff has never been given the guidance, okay, work on this, fund this, take care of this. We've got lots of things that have been talked about, but we need a specific targeted plan and a way to pay for it. The steps to get our water infrastructure, there's a lot of things involved. We do not have a master water and sewer plan for Flavanna County. We have a 20-year or 50, is it a 50-year water supply plan? But we don't have a master water and sewer plan, which is much different and much more detailed on how we do our systems in our county. We need ordinances and policies and procedures that are going to have to be put in place and passed. Again, we need the board to say, we are moving forward with this, and therefore staff will then start working on these kinds of ordinances, or these kinds of policies, or these kinds of procedures. You all have to decide on, the red bullet up there, what water options, option or options, you're going to buy into it, where you're heading. I'm not suggesting you have to fund it this year, but we need to know which ones you're going at so that we can then work on those instead of working on everything, because we can't continue to work on everything, otherwise we're going to be exactly what we've always done, just everything at one time and not getting anything.
But I think when you say you worked on everything, that was to give us different options. Not so much that we were going to do all these, but let everyone see the different types of options, the possible money that it's going to cost, and all that.
Agreed, and there's a good point to that. And remember, 2 years ago, you had a big staff turnover, and so you had to kind of rehash some of that stuff. And so some of the churn over the 2012 year was just getting all the new stuff, myself and others, up to speed and on board, but then trying to pull all these things together and get it going. But this year now, we've been still kind of looking at this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and maybe all those things have to be included. We just need to know what kind of the final plan is so we can work on that.
Well, let's be honest. We didn't have an ROI, and we've taken steps to take care of that. So
indeed, and that's certainly a good thing for the board to have as a tool, because it helps tell you whether that project is more or less viable on these kinds of assumptions, and we've got a tool that can barely be used for that now. But when I've gone back and read the minutes of meetings and the Citizens Water Committee and the JRWA minutes and board minutes from 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, we've talked about these same issues over and over. There's very little tonight that I'm going to present in these slides that staff's all worked on and put together that hasn't been seen in some form before. We're not reinventing the wheel and trying to just come up with this new whiz-bang, oh, by the gosh, we just found uranium and we can pay for everything we want now. We don't have a nuclear power plant coming out of our pocket to pay for stuff.
Maybe
as the polonium decays, gotcha. Maybe it'll decay to PB, and we'll have lead, and we can sell lead too. But anyway, there's just a lot of stuff that needs to be done. We are on stop on some things, like for instance, groundwater research. The board approved last year $50,000 for groundwater studies, but not a penny of that's been spent yet, because we're still waiting on identifying whether we're going forward on this. The board approved $575,000 for implementing the DOC option, but we haven't spent that because we're waiting on the aqua version. The JRWA, we're not sure on yet. We're waiting on the real estate, the final real estate issues for like Thomasville wells. We just need to finally, and I don't mean tonight, I mean you all collectively, this month and at your offsite and at your through this budget season, need to have a plan in your pocket. Mr. Chandler is going to try to help you create that plan for the next 2 years. That will also give specific support to staff so we can focus our efforts on what you value most on behalf of the county. So where are we now? We have lots of water sources. We've talked about this before. You've seen some of these slides. We really need to investigate these groundwater sources. There's dollars sitting out there waiting to do that, and we need to look in a couple key locations to find out whether it can help us. But I don't want to spend that money until you say go. Even though it was approved in the CIP from last year, I don't want to spend it unless that's exactly the direction you're going. We've got multiple options. You've got lots of different areas to get water from our county. You've got multiple big bulk suppliers, Louisa County, Riverina Water and Sewer Authority, Aqua Virginia, groundwater, our JRWA water. We just got to decide which combination makes best sense for us and move forward. You've seen all this. There's lots of different sources of these water, different places in our county. And these studies and these options have been talked about and talked about and talked about. This ECTI line that goes up to the Tenasca Power Plant, we know that there's a significant amount of effluent from that that's relatively clean. I don't mean treated water, potable water, but relatively clean. It's not straight river water, and it gets dumped into the Rivanna River right here in Palmyra. Now, maybe that's a water source. I don't know. I know they're interested in talking, but that may not be, that may be just one more thing to add to the mix. What I'm worried about is every time somebody comes up with one more, how about this, how about that, but this,
we have
but that,
too many,
then we stop.
Too many choices.
And we don't, and we don't make a decision. And I think at least you all have decided on JRWA. The JRWA is moving forward pretty rapidly with that and looking at alternatives and options. But you've approved in an agreement a route, and so that can move forward, and that's a long-term water source. We met with DEQ on that 2 weeks ago on December 20th. And that
was
all
positive. Yeah, but where you put your line, it's not water for us, it's water for them.
No, well, two reasons, two things. Let me just show here.
Treated water, this is raw water.
Okay? Right.
Treated raw water. And if you ever want water here, you're going to have to run the pipeline and you're going to have to put a treatment plant to treat that water. But one thing that is pretty guaranteed from Louise's point of view is this pipe that runs up there is taking water to their treatment plant, and they are running freshwater pipes both west and east. And that will be partly our water because this pipe has to be sized to handle our capacity. Now we'll have to pay for treatment of water, but we won't have to build a plant if long term we want water in our county.
But that's 8 miles.
It is 8 miles, but they're running the pipes back to there, not us. Okay. Those pipes.
Once they cross Route 6, they're running the pipes.
Once they cross Route 6, they're running the pipes there to their treatment plant, to wherever they want, towards Franklin and beyond, Shadwell.
Mineral.
Gum Springs is where they're going.
Right. Yeah. And but they are also running the pipeline back
Science
to Science Crossroads. Now, there is a PPEA, and I'm positive of this. They are running pipes back to Science Crossroads, freshwater pipes. They've also now received, I can't go to the details, but they received a PPEA proposal to do that entire project. Now, that's a lot of machinations and how that works with JRWA, with Fluvanna County, with Louisa County. Largely, it would be a Louisa County issue and a JRWA issue. But since we are half of JRWA, we've got to figure out whether it makes sense for us, too. We haven't seen the full proposal.
But then if they take Water Designs, we're buying the water back from them.
We're buying our water that's been treated. So you're buying treated.
We're paying for them.
You're buying the treatment, yes. But you've already got it running up there, and you're paying. You don't have to build the treatment plant.
So how do we get... You know, we have too many options.
Yep.
Well, how do you get to eliminating some of them that's not going to work?
As we go through this, we'll show you what we think is a pared-down version of that and a bite-sized chunk that you can actually do.
Right.
So, you know, in Louisa County, I've said this over and over and over, the last 13 years they've gone from 0 gallons a day in their system to 137,500 at the end of the last year. Now, they've done a lot of build-out over that 13 years. Some of the things that were there before, and over the last 8 or 10 years, they've put a lot more things in, but they're still only at 137,000 gallons of water a day requirement.
That's all groundwater.
That's all groundwater from the wells. They have about 400,000 gallons of capacity.
That includes Spring Creek.
That includes Spring Creek Housing Subdivision.
12 years.
You've got lots of these water sources we've talked about, of the various things that might be available. We'll show you what our recommendations are on there. So big rock things are the JRWA, where we think that might be one of our long-term solutions. It's a big straw in the river. We're going to need it long-term. DEQ is very positive about the permit being moved to the Columbia area, and probably with an extension of time, because we'd probably do it as a reissuance for 15 years rather than just extending the existing one to 8 years.
Yeah.
The Department of Corrections, that's a short-term possibility for Zions Crossroads. It's certainly not the be-all, end-all, but it's the cheapest water you can find, and it's only 75,000 gallons of fresh water. But it may be a way to get piped to the ground at an affordable rate. You can add bulk water from whether it's Aqua Virginia or other bulk water providers or groundwater sources, or you can still do the Aqua Virginia project. That's still a possible option. But in all these, some of them are big water, like the James River Water Authority. Louise is ready to move. We now have signed part of that agreement. The latest estimate I saw, I think, was $5.2 million for the joint cost for that. But we have to wait for the formal engineering estimates.
For what?
5.2 for the JRWA portion of the project.
That's way more than what we projected then.
3.6 was the original estimate. We don't know what the real estimate is. That's just somebody else's estimate. We haven't costed any of those out. And we don't have an engineering estimate yet.
And when you say Louise is ready to move forward, what are they doing?
As soon as the permit is done.
Then they're going to do engineering?
Well, there's a variety of options the JRWA has to consider under those auspices. Let's assume that it was just financing. Well, we'd have to then get financing for the project. Mm-hmm. They want to do it as one consolidated thing, one engineer and one construction firm to do the JRWA portion and their portion, just for economies of scale. But then that cost of that, the JRWA cost, has to come back to our board to understand the cost there, and then the JRWA has to approve that debt.
If you go to Ferncliff right now, they already have an industrial park built at Ferncliff.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. They are ready to hit the ground running.
They want that treatment plant, and they want the big straw. Mm-hmm. So that permit would be moving from the Bremo Bluff area over here and then moving to Columbia area, run up along the Colonial Pipeline. That certainly will impact a number of parcels. And that's what it looks like in blow-up view.
When you, that line is not straight, is it, right? Like it's...
The Colonial Pipeline?
Mostly. Most of those...
The Colonial Pipeline is pretty straight.
Most of it's straight. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what roads are we going over? What part of...
You're going to go across Route 6, right. Then you're going to go across Route 659, then you're going to cross Route 605.
Okay.
Then you're going to cross 610.
And where is 610?
610 is Community House, comes out of Mr. Bruce's store.
Okay.
You cross 610 once, then you're going to cross Covered Bridge, the road
that's where you live.
Twice. Mm-hmm. You cross that twice. You cross Route 603.
Where is 603?
Frank Brown, Mr. and Ms. Brown live on 603.
Oh, okay. Frank.
Tapscott Road.
Okay.
Then it's going to cross 601, Venable Road, mm-hmm. and it crosses... The little road, Three Chop Road, was the last time it crosses in our county. If I added up correctly, I think it's 10 road crossings.
Okay.
Except we'll go under them.
Well, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because we talked to them about putting in fire hydrants, but Scenic River would also be one where we would need a fire hydrant. It would help mm-hmm. a whole lot if they put it, because mm-hmm. they're going to cross Scenic River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is it coming past the edge of people's property through their property?
It follows that line.
Wherever the right-of-way is for the Colonial Gas Pipeline,
will it be on
the right-of-way for this has to be outside that. You cannot be in the same right-of-way as the gas pipeline. It's 10 or 11 feet, you said, Wayne? 10 or 12 feet it would be?
Mm-hmm. It crosses mine, so I will tell you that
right now.
That's
the fourth line.
It crosses your property.
It crosses my property.
Right, but it doesn't. It can't be inside the existing Colonial Gas Pipeline right away.
Yeah. Nothing
it will
can
definitely be
over top
on people's
of that.
Property.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're taking an 11-foot stretch of however far mm-hmm. you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, and let me just go back here and look at this one. This is one of those kind of decision points. I'm adamantly urging you to decide on this and be done with it. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to continue to go back and recheck the JRWA and re-decide and re-look at this and maybe it's not the right route, the time to do it is right now, because the JRWA has got a lot mm-hmm. of things moving fast. We're getting ready to start moving permit, doing issuances. You've already sent money. If this horse is out of the barn mm-hmm. and is not catchable, then let it run. Mm-hmm. If you want to change it, you better do it really, really quickly, because we can't deal with much more churn on this. Otherwise, it'll just sit forever.
And what changes is it?
Well, I hear all kinds of things from community members and and
like others. Running it up 15.
Like running it up 15 or going not opposing this County. Or doing lots of things, right.
I mean, when I look at it, what I see, and I've been around this as long as many people
sure,
have,
right.
But Louise is getting their dream right here because they're going straight up yeah. to the middle of their county where they could go both east and west. And to me, this is their number one fix.
Yeah.
And I agree.
I don't know how much this helps our county. Does that make sense? If that makes sense. And I'm saying this as an outsider because I haven't been with you guys. Y'all have done this most.
I don't know. I have the same concern you do.
I haven't seen it since the beginning. If it went up 15, it made sense to our county.
Okay, so if you look down here, I don't want to move too far down the slides. We can pull up the big one. But if you look down in here someplace, if you run that up 15, where do you need water in our county? You sure as heck don't need it in Busby. What you need in Busby
you need
it in infrastructure.
That's
right. That's why it's raw water going that way. But we do need treated water in the north end of our county.
Correct.
And the treated water, we won't build a treatment plant. We will buy our water back at treated levels now, coming back to Zions Crossroads. But going up 15,
who will decide how much we pay for that?
We will, and it's bulk rate. It's already in the original agreement.
We have to negotiate. No money made off of us buying our water back, except for us to just pay for the cost of being treated.
It'll be the transport costs and the treatment costs. Agreement already specifies that at bulk rate. Now, it doesn't say what exact dollar value, and that you have to take into account the capital cost that determines the bulk rate. But it's still better than a retail rate.
And I think we also need to look at the cost of it going up 15, too.
Well, Louisa County
expensive.
Is not...
They're not.
Yesterday at the JRWA meeting, I asked again to Louisa County representatives, is there any interest in changing or doing something different? The answer is clearly no, and has been no for some number of months. If Fluvanna County does not want to do this project this way, then we better be saying so right now.
Right.
And oh, by the way, you've already signed an agreement.
Yes.
But we haven't approved as you know.
You have not, but I can almost assure you from a legal point of view,
yes.
that
we'll
if you
soon.
Have already signed this agreement,
right.
and then you do not approve the SUPs for that line, then they will take their case to state, and state
yes.
will give them the right of way to run their lines into the river and draw the water out. Because there's been cases like that in case law in the state already. Mm-hmm. So while I can understand you wouldn't want treated water running through all the rural preservation areas, and some people don't like a pipeline through their right of way, and there has been lots of talk about the Route 15 or using ECTI, but those things have been talked about for years and nothing ever got done. Right now, we're on this agreement, and it's moving pretty fast.
So the county basically has three choices. It can either build it itself, it can buy it from someone else, or it can do a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, I'm suggesting a combination of both.
Right.
And basically, at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a cost to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost a lot of money. And the question is, how do we finance it? How do we get the deal done? That's really what it boils down to at the end of the day, right? Because we can talk about, it'd be great to put it down 15, but if it's a $40 million plan and it's got to go to referendum, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to be realistic about what our true financing options are. I think that's one of the challenges in looking at the totality of the plans.
The other, I don't think
right.
there's any opportunity to run this up 15 at this point.
And the other interesting thing is, you know, you just said it, is it'll never pass referendum. So saying that is the majority of the people in this county don't want to see it, or they pass it in referendum, you know. So, you know, by approving $40 million or $30 million, going roundabout ways, i.e. Aqua, you're just bypassing a referendum. I'll equate that to building this courthouse right here. It was originally going to go to built on Pleasant Grove. However, it went to referendum and failed because the people didn't want the new courthouse. And they built it here because this was the bypass of a referendum. They built it on county property, so it didn't have to go to referendum. That's how this courthouse ended up sitting where it sits. And we're talking about the same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about something that the majority of residents of this county don't want. But in order to bypass that, we're looking at other options. Oh, we don't want this to go to referendum. The people don't want it.
I don't agree with that.
Well, that's basically true.
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, nobody wants to make large investments that they know are going to raise their rates. Nobody wants to do that. And that's a given. And it's easy to mobilize people on that basis, right? But the problem is our job as leaders is to make sure that our county doesn't fall apart because we're not doing the right things.
And that's why referendums were set in the law.
Well, that's right. That's also why revenue bonds are available for specific large infrastructure projects, including
schools. Right, and I'm not sure that this one would have to go to referendum. It may be revenue bonds. A lot of water and sewer projects you can do that way. But, you know, staff's job is not to interpret whether or not you want to make that hard decision and go to referendum or not go to referendum. We can tell you all the alternatives and options. You're all going to have to decide whether it's something valuable you want to do or not. What I'm suggesting is that staff needs direction. And staff needs direction that we can do for some time rather than stop, start. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that if you want us to get the people's business done that you designate, you got to tell us what that is. And so I'm trying to lay out the story of all the alternatives and options there, and we're going to make a recommendation. But we
could do something unique and ask your advice and recommendation on it since staff has been working on this thing for about 12 months now.
Well, we're going to give you a recommendation whether you ask or not, but we're going to be very gung-ho and excited about whatever option you decide on because at the end of the day, once the Board of Supervisors votes, the people have spoken, it becomes the best darn deal around and we're doing it. Right. And I'm not suggesting that I'm not going to try to give you all the information in advance, but our job is not to decide which option. Our job is to give you all the options, lay out the facts, and give you information, make a recommendation, and then follow whatever lead you want. I just need a lead. Yeah.
But I still think number one is to get that ROI correct. And
indeed. Although you, a water, Wayne can help me with this. A water system is not a cash cow.
No, but you wouldn't open a business without an ROI, a $40 million business.
But a water system is not a cash cow, and for the first 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years, it's not going to be a cash cow. It is just you have to kind of almost believe that infrastructure is required if you want business growth, and you have to then kind of believe that business growth is required if you want to fund what you value. That's the kind of intellectual discussion you're going to have to decide on.
The ROI of doing nothing is pretty clear. And we're going to see higher and higher tax rates. We're going to have to continue to cut our core services, and the quality of life will be reduced in the county. And that's not going to be pretty.
No, but the hurt part is the first 5 years.
Right. But hey, that's what's been happening. That's what's been happening for decades in this county. We've basically said no and no and no. And I would disagree. I think the problem is that there aren't a lot of people that don't want to see us do it. I think that a lot of people do want to see change, but there is a very vocal group of people that will mobilize against something. The NIMBYs will come out. That's a guarantee. And that's just part of the process, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But our job is to look past that and say, where's our county going to be in the next 20 years? And if we don't do that, then we're going to continue to have the same problems that we're experiencing right now. We're going to have a very tough budget season.
Right. Indeed you are.
And I'm not willing to sit here another 2 years and hear the same thing over again. We're going to have to make some decisions and move forward.
Well, that's what we're trying to lay out here is this, and then the follow-on part about the money and the financing and the rates and things. You'll see kind of where we're at. So DOC, you all know about the kind of the DOC option. You know, the rough estimate is the $5 million. That includes operating costs for 3 years. But it's not the be-all, end-all solution because it doesn't have a lot of water. But we can add water to it if you use that as DOC plus, as Mr. O'Brien likes to say. So that would be a starting point. You have to have the sewer in any case up there to start out with. And you're not going to get any cheaper water and sewer solutions than this. And the good thing about the DOC option is they already do these kinds of partnerships with counties around the Commonwealth. You know, it does meet the county's initial water needs and can be augmented with other sources. That's maybe the best thing in its favor because it's a lower cost. But there are certainly some downsides too. Other bulk water providers. I don't know if it's RWSA. I don't know if it's a bulk water deal with Aqua Virginia for untreated water or for treated water, or if it's with the Louisa County Water Authority. Doubtful under the current conditions because there would be problems pulling some. They have excess capacity right now, but they would probably have some lawsuits if they pulled Green Springs Water and set it out of their county. But there's a variety of ways to look at this, and maybe groundwater is one of the solutions. We really need to unleash some of that money to start studying groundwater at Zions Crossroads and in the southern or focus growth areas of our county. We need to know what options are there, because groundwater may be a lower cost, more easily developed option. And if you get a well that meets Wayne's needs to augment, for instance, something at Zions Crossroads, you might have 125,000 gallons of water tomorrow. Or at Zion, in the Fort Union Sanitary District area. Fort Union Sanitary District is not so hard over that they need so much more water right this minute. What they need is they need to rest one of the three wells, because they run 24/7, mm-hmm. and you've got to have time to do maintenance on them, and you've got to have time and money to do maintenance on the whole system. So they need a water source, not a volume source so much, but a water source to alternate wells. The Thomasville wells may be one, but we also are getting the FUSDI has an old well near National Filter Service that was contaminated at one time. It may not be contaminated anymore because it's a different type of contaminant that isn't as long lasting as others, and that's already owned by FUSDI. That may bring us back online so we can at least exercise our wells, rest the wells so they can last longer, and also then work on cost for infrastructure.
Now that's a project that's running in the red and always will.
Wayne knows more, but it's a project that's running in the red now,
right.
And it's going to run in the red until we energize the system with customers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. you can decide what the sanitary district's going to be. There's already people that are outside the sanitary district that are hooked up to the water system, and I don't know that they pay the sanitary district fees if the ones are outside,
uh-huh.
because there's people customers that are
hooked to the system.
Right on the line. Okay,
so yeah. Would they pay the ad valorem tax if they were outside? Because there's some customers that are outside the boundary lines.
Yeah.
If
you're using the water, they would, I would think.
You pay the rates, just don't pay the ad valorem tax.
Yeah.
So there's a variety of things we're going to have to look at there to fund that system. Regardless, forget about FUSDI being this some other entity. You own it.
Yes.
It belongs to you.
Us.
You are the board of directors for the Fort Union Sanitary Districts. And end of discussion, it's what it is. Now, they are a district, and there's some taxing levies that you could do there, and there's some ways to do it, but Mr. Stevens has explained this to me a couple different times. Put it in this thing. Think about Zions Crossroads, and think about FUSDI. Are you going to go forward with the Zions Crossroads water system sometime? I'm thinking sometime you probably will. Who's going to pay for that?
The county.
The people up there, or everybody in the county?
Everybody
in the county. Well, then what's the difference with FUSDI? I mean, why let that ailing system continue to be less than taken care of when you already own it? It just happens to be part of your infrastructure. Eventually, you're going to have a Fluvanna County Water Authority that kind of takes on all those things, and we may partner with a company to oversee it or do whatever, but you own it already.
Yeah, but the FUSDI was set up.
That's not quite a fair
comparison,
not
true.
I don't think.
FUSDI wasn't set up that way.
Wasn't set up which way, sir?
For the county to own it. And
see, they voted on it.
The problem is you've never had a choice entity. Because from its inception, it's belonged to the county because the county board of supervisors has been the board of directors since inception. That's
but they are the ones responsible.
All it is a special tax.
For paying for it.
Bottom line is that's all it is.
And that's how it was set up. It was set up so
that any sanitary district is a special tax.
Yeah, and the people who live there determined what they wanted to pay for it. The people who lived there determined whether they wanted to pay for it because they issued two different bonds. I think one was for $2 million, one was for $1 million. I don't forget it.
Well, but the county managed all that. The county board of supervisors
knows all that. County managed. The people voted on those bonds what they wanted to do and what maintenance and upkeep and improvement that they wanted to do. That's what the district, we didn't have anything to do with it. We as citizens had nothing to do with that.
Well, but these citizens out here are going to have nothing to do with the Zions Crossroads water system if you all vote to put in the Zions Crossroads water system. But they're going to pay for it.
Absolutely, but that's still different.
Right. Well, honestly, I don't know I can't argue back and forth the legal strings of it. I just know that what Fred has explained to us is that it is, you are the board of directors. You're the ones that decide what happens with that.
Sure, we just determine the rates and all. But we didn't make the decision as to how much they were going to put into the infrastructure, and so on and so forth. That was that district's decision.
Do you know, have anything to do with the spending? The two are related to each other. If you're setting rates, then you are overseeing the district.
The rates are supposed to be taking care of the infrastructure and the upgrades and the cost of.
They're not counting employees. System.
Yes, actually,
they are. They're paid by us. Senator district money. Yes, it's true.
They're not on the county.
They're not supposed to be on the county payroll.
They're not.
Unless they trade labor off.
They are.
Yes, they are. We've asked that before, and they are.
Is that out of revenue from Fuzzy, though?
Fuzzy's horses, yeah.
Well, I'll put it this way. Saying that the staff at the convenience center are not on the county payroll is akin to the same thing. Because the convenience center is supposed to be kind of you take revenue in and that pays for the operation of that.
Well, we know that's
they're still on the county payroll.
Well, there might be a trade-off. That's what I had said, too.
Yeah.
You know, you work on something for the county, and the county sort of pays you back in kind.
Well, Roger Smith is the only one where we kind of split their dollars.
And there's some fairness to that.
Right. Well, we pay for part because he works on the treatment plant here. But the other folks... I don't know.
Well, I can tell you the one thing for certain. The Horn Union Sanitary District doesn't own anything. Every single piece of property that has a water facility
is a flue banner.
The Horn Union Sanitary District is in the name of the Board of Supervisors of Savannah County.
Well, that maybe is the way that it's written up as law, that it has to be that way.
Well, then we would probably have to maintain it, I would think. If we own it, right?
But I mean, that means
we're constantly.
Oh, we don't. You need to get Fred to explain it.
Right. And so Bobby will mark this down. This is clearly one of the points of discussion that I want you all to understand better and for staff to understand better. Since some of us are new, we really need to know the legal, real live, no kidding stuff, because you're going to have to, in the coming years, make decisions about that system, because it's going to crushingly fail sooner rather than later. I mean, it already has failures all the time. But it's just really old, and it's got to be taken care of. There's got to be a way to do that. And
what is the process for raising rates there, and when have they been last raised?
It has to come back through here, but it has to be. I don't think you even have to do a referendum to raise the rates. You have to do
the approved by the board. As I recall, this board approves the rates.
Yeah.
Because I remember 14.
But you have to formally do a rate study.
Came to y'all, it, I mean, he needed a lower rate,
right?
Or he was going to pull off of it.
There you go. That's right.
I remember seeing that.
We didn't change any rates last year.
No,
we didn't change any rates last year. All we just gave them loans.
Right.
But the board does set our rates. Yes, it's wise to do a rate study. The rates can be lower. There's no requirements.
Okay. So anyway, obviously lots of contention just on FUSD, but. The bottom line is you're the ones that vote on FUSD.
I think at some
point. On the rates, we do.
At some point, they all have to come together.
So if we're setting the rates, then we have to be in charge of it. Because they wouldn't let us set the rates if we weren't.
The advisory board is just that, just an advisory board.
Right.
Well, you have to.
They would set the rates if they were in charge, they would set the rates. If we're setting the rates, we're in charge.
But you have to.
In charge of the rates.
You're in charge of it. I was trying to look. I had the FUSD. Law here.
I think the bottom line, we don't have a groundwater study yet. So then things keep popping up, like Tenasca. It's a water supply that popped up, 3 weeks ago or a month ago.
Fred needs to go over that again. Indeed. We have new members and the rest of us.
Will he be there on their weekend?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know.
And you don't want to, you don't. I would recommend you don't spend too much time that weekend deciding those kinds of issues. You're going to be higher level on priorities and directions and aims, and we're going to pay for him to come to an offsite. But next Wednesday, he can give it an update at the next board meeting. You have next week on the legal status of FUSD. So, and anyway, groundwater, certainly an alternative, an option.
I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What's taking so long with the Thomasville review?
I can't go into too much detail here. We have to go into closed session too, but it's done. We're now waiting for them to come back with an alternative. We can't really present it to you until they get through the owner gets through their piece.
Oh, I see.
It's reasonably positive, the discussions, but we've it ran into a snag when we got the results of the report back, and then they gave it to the owner, mm-hmm. and then now the owner has to do something
okay.
else.
All right. So. Okay, thank you.
Okay. There are, you know, costs to all this. Just to run it at 5%, if you're running, you know, $1.5 million or $5 million or $10 million or $15 million, you know, there's some cost over 20 years. And you can see that, you know, a $900,000 payment, well, that's, you know, 3 cents or 3.5 cents on the tax rate. If you're doing a, you know, $156,000, that's 0.75 cents on the tax rate. It's $266,000 per penny on your tax rate. Your current tax rate is 79.5. So you've got all these different ones out there. There's different costs for the different options. But we've got to decide which one of those, which combination of those you're going to go with. Staff recommendation is a combination plan. Let's move forward on the DOC for a short-term option because you'll get pipes in the ground. You'll have water flowing, you'll have sewer services, and you can add to it, whether it's a bulk water agreement with Aqua, RWSA, groundwater in the future. It's the fastest, quickest way is to start getting water in the ground. That $5 or $6 million cost for that can be done on a revenue bond and can be moved forward quickly. You've already approved $575,000 in the CIP from last year to get that started, but we've not engaged on spending a nickel of that until you give us the go. Certainly groundwater can be used for short-term or intermediate needs. We want to free up that $50,000 and start doing the groundwater study in Zion's Crossroads especially, and JRWA for longer-term needs, north part of the county and southern part. I'm not suggesting there may not be some of these other things we want to add to it. I just don't see a long-term bulk deal doing anything right now, and I'm not sure that you can afford it. I'll show you some cost stuff later. It is this. We do think this is more affordable now. It's scalable over time, and there are certain budget pressures coming up that you're going to have a hard time trying to do everything. If you want economic development and you think infrastructure is required for that and you want it at Zion's Crossroads, you've got to find a way to move forward at a cost you can afford, and you'll have to decide that after you see the numbers. And we need to get started developing this master water and sewer plan, but we need to know which directions you're heading.
Would you go back to the chart where you had the money? Yeah. Okay.
So the $5 million. We'll get the $5 million. Is that with the DOC?
Well, it wouldn't be actually that much, only because the cost estimate for DOC includes operational costs, which we wouldn't finance. So we'd actually, it might be less than $5 million because the $4.6 million was 3 years of operational costs too, and you wouldn't finance those. Mm-hmm. So
does that include paying the landowners for their?
Somebody else smell something burning? Something burning?
I smell something different. I don't
smell too. Burning. I've smelled something.
It smells like fire. Oh well.
I was thinking for just a second.
Brain was burning.
So, and again, you know, we can give you some numbers, but remember, be careful not to hold me to a specific $4.6 million because we have to have engineers actually design these projects. And now some of them are based on good engineering estimates, but they're not today's engineering estimates with the current firm.
I think one of the other challenges we have is...
I can smell something. I think it might be one of those.
Go ahead.
Does that include purchasing the land from the landowners of the right-of-way for the pipes?
The, a small amount, the overwhelming majority of the DOC projects that will be constructed in the
right-of-way, 250? Right.
Okay, so we wouldn't have to pay?
Well, there's some.
Until you have the trunking go off that.
Because of the stream crossing, you typically have to pull away from the road.
Right.
And angle things around and go over the stream. So you would be, there's short distances where we would need easements. But, and I want to stress, I said it the wrong way.
Trust me. The pipeline's gone across. It'll be the fourth time it's gone across me. Okay.
Right,
so
I
understand about that easement
that
thing.
The pipeline owner a lot more rights than a civil easement does. But the plan would be for the vast majority of that to be in the highway department rights of way for 250 and for we've also actually done a pledge for some easements and potentially water storage tank site for the landowner down there already at no cost. Yeah. So I don't want to say that it's right. Change the side. He may change his mind, but we have been talking with some of the people in the business park area down there and they're enthusiastic about getting whatever he just might need to do. But there is a special, I think it might be $200,000 in there for the miscellaneous.
So
So that you have factored some in.
Some, yes, but again, it requires the real deal.
That could be big,
deal.
Depending on, right. With that road frontage or that easement land.
Although in our case, because we've got 250 and because most of the time you run along 250, we're in better shape than running someplace else. So.
Yeah. I was going to say the other consideration we have to take into account is the timeline if we're considering the JRWA plan. We don't really have a good sense as to what their timeline is right now. And I know you're talking about your middle and long-term plans. But Louisa could run into their own situation and their own challenges in trying to make these public-private partnerships happen as well, too.
Indeed.
So, we have to consider regulatory concerns. We have to consider the fact that the market conditions will change. We're likely to see interest rates go up and costs continue to scale up. Mm-hmm. And we've got to consider the will of the board and the health of the county. So it's a tough call, but you almost have to think long-term, not just what's the quick fix today.
Yes, I don't disagree with you at all, Mr. Vine. All I'm suggesting is as we go forward, what you'll see is you'll see some of the financial pressures that are related to that. And I'm just not sure how far or how willing you're willing to stretch to pay for what we value and what we need.
No, I understand
That's where we're headed. So it's clear to me, it's clear to staff, that if you want to change our mix, our 93.7 mix to something different, to help us fund the future, you can't stand still and do nothing if you want to grow business. If you want to get business growth, you're going to have some infrastructure changes. And that means some investment in infrastructure. I'm not suggesting you have to bite off a $40 million project. You've already bit off part of a JRWA project, and I'm suggesting that you might want to bite off some other smaller projects. But sooner or later, if you want to pay for something different than what you're paying for now, you need an alternative source of revenue. And at this stage, even maybe going forward, you can't afford to do it all at once. And you can't afford to be all things to all people. Just because this person wants this, and this person wants this, and this person wants this, you can't fund it all. I don't think there's a way for you to raise enough revenue to fund everything people would like to do. So one bite at a time.
Yeah. As we said today.
You're going to have to find a way to do this one bite at a time. This bite this year is going to be painful.
Okay, so we have not made a commitment to DOC, or we have.
No.
We have not made a
commitment. We've signed the agreements with DOC, but we don't have to do anything with
right.
them.
Right, so we haven't made a commitment with DOC.
Something's truly burning.
It is. I can smell it too. Smell
you guys investigate,
smoke.
Look around, look in the back.
Smoke.
I mean, I'm assuming
like
a line would go off.
To me, perhaps coming in, I think it's a wood stove burning.
No, it does smell like smoke, like wood smoke.
Oh, sucking in
I can't.
But I think it's
my nose.
Okay.
Sucking air from outside. You want me to call Mike Brent and get him to bring it?
Yeah.
No, they can check outside.
Now,
if there's smoke smell outside, then it's probably just coming through vents. But this building is notorious for taking fumes in from outside.
Right.
It's one of the neighbors is burning the fire right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So suppose we decided not to get water from DLC and just sewage.
Certainly doable at this stage.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's all right. I got my feet over there.
Oh, no.
Because 75, I mean, what we're buying and spending, and we're going to be putting the pipes down. Right.
We don't. We don't.
And operating it. And
the DOC line we would own.
Okay. That would be ours.
Yes.
So we'd have to maintain that.
Treated at DOC.
Using their system.
If
we'd
this
be
is
moving
the case,
treated water.
If you're going after big water, then we got to have a reason to need the big water.
How much would it be to put the pipes underneath the ground from DOC? I mean, what is it just for the pipes?
The project with capital with the operating cost for 3 years is $4.6 million, is our current working estimate.
Okay.
$4.6 million.
Which is affordable. That's to run from Department of Corrections towards Zion Crossroads at 250 and 15.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to have to ultimately add to it. That's
right. That's why you need groundwater study. There could be 250,000 gallons a day. There could be more. We, like he said, we have an awful lot of tank storage tanks.
I thought the groundwater study was already underway. So, yeah.
Haven't spent a penny on it. Waiting on board direction.
Yeah. We don't have that option. Tenasca is the other one.
Yeah, CTI. Yeah. You know, I'd like, you know, I'd like to see them all laid out. You know, we have to have a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, no,
concentrated dialogue. What I mean by concentrated dialogue,
and then we're straying from our conversation. We have two or three little conversations here.
Use that hammer thing.
Too many individual conversations, so we do want to hear what you have to say. So we want to start on this end. I know, Tony, you were talking about something.
We were just discussing the fact that the groundwater study is probably something that needs to move forward so that we have that as an available option.
Okay.
But that ultimately the timeline and trying to accomplish something, the objective of this board, in my opinion, should be not to just put out another study, not to just wait, but to make a very concentrated effort to gather the information, come to a decision. We're not going to make the perfect decision.
No.
That's guaranteed. There will be people that will not agree with what we come up with. But if we don't do anything, I think we're really going to leave ourselves. Exactly. And I think the mistake that the lake made when you looked at the water system, the county made when they didn't buy the water system, is they didn't look ahead. And so, you know, the costs and the charges, you know, rolled up and made it very expensive for everybody. Right. And that's a challenge, right? I mean, they can't be too expensive where nobody's going to want to be in the county. But if you have nothing available and you just pass the burden on to the homeowner, you're in a tough pickle.
Right.
So we have to be a little bolder than just, okay, we'll do a DOC and then tomorrow we'll see what happens.
Yes.
I think we need to set out that strategic vision for the county.
Well, and what we were talking about is eventually we're going to have water lines in the ground going up 250. We're going to have them. Now, what would the water source be? The Meechunk, there's my question about the DOC plan. I know, but if the Meechunk can't provide enough water to keep up, where are we going to get that water from? Are we going to have to truck it in there like they did 4 or 5 years ago?
No,
and I know that they had a issue where something broke.
Right.
But they trucked in 8,000-gallon truckloads of water.
Right. The reservoir was being repaired at the wrong time during the worst drought, et cetera, et cetera. But the Meechunk is not the biggest source of water long term. And frankly, I think that the DOC will be a water customer sometime in the future.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But in the short term, if we went with that plan, where would we get water from if the Meechunk couldn't keep up?
Well, they've already got a 90-day reservoir that they hold water.
They've got a 40 million gallon reservoir.
I drive by it and wish there were fish in it, and I could go fishing.
Right, which is about it's actually far more storage than most small water systems like that have in their reservoir, and part of that is because of their limited uptake from the Meechunk River during high flow season. They pump more than they need and put it in the reservoir.
So they got excess,
and then they draw off of it. Now, the drought that caused them to have to haul water, in speaking with them and their engineers about it, when Bobby and I went to meet with them, I'm they convinced me that that's probably a once in a lifetime thing. That they had, unless somebody blows up their dam or sabotages it. What happened was the dam was not constructed properly, and okay, so they ended up having to take the dam back down, build the proper reinforcements that should have been in their first place, and then build it back up. And they had. None of their 40 million gallon water
reservoir
available when the drought hit. And if they had it, they wouldn't have had to truck water. I mean, they did the calculations to show that. Now, with that said, they have a water treatment plant there that's capable of treating about 400,000 gallons a day of water. However, they have a uptake from the Meechunk Creek that averages, I believe, 250,000 gallons per day. So the water treatment plant that they have there can never operate at its
capacity.
So
it has 150,000 gallons of capacity that we could use.
Unless, as long as you can find another water source. And that is one of the things that we're going to take into consideration as we start doing the hydrogeologic study, is the possibility of feeding groundwater that would require treatment, you know, in some kind of a small filtration system, as long as you can find wells close to the prison, feed it directly to their water treatment plant or even feed it into their reservoir, and thereby be able to get them to upgrade their treatment capacity and potentially get a possible additional as much as 150,000 gallons a day of water source.
And that's the other reason why you might want to do a bulk raw water source from Aqua Virginia.
Again, yes.
You put it to the reservoir, you would put it in the treatment plant, not pay for the treatment there. Because remember, we're paying $1.50 per thousand of treated water through DOC.
How much how much water does the DOC use itself on a daily basis?
131,000
gallons.
And so they're offering us 75, which still leaves them a little bit of buffer up to their 250.
So 200,000 gallons per day.
Yeah.
You have 20 days of reserve if you never got another drop of water, basically, what it boils down to.
Right, I think
you have 200 days of reserve.
200, I'm foggy, so is that 200 days?
But
I'm
in other words,
yes.
If we were to use the gallons,
40 million divided by 200,000 is 200.
Then we would go from 75,000, whatever we augment into we
could potentially get as much as let's just round down and say 200,000 gallons a day of water from DOC, as long as we have some raw water source to provide to their treatment plant. And I will say, there is apparently some upgrade that needs to be done to their filters, a not particularly expensive one, in order to get the plant rated to 400.
Okay.
So there's a minor upgrade there, but the hydraulically and other than the filters, apparently it was sized for 400.
Not trying to be a pessimist, but see if we can't get a specific figure
We've been in discussions with them once before. In fact, I've already verified with the health department that you are allowed to mix groundwater and surface water at a surface water treatment plant and
run it
through.
We met with DEQ and asked this question.
Good idea.
DEQ and the Department of Health. What would it cost us if we purchased water from Aqua?
Well, we don't know, because we've actually never gotten into any kind of a discussion with them about purchasing raw water from them.
No.
There's two things.
You got to decide whether it's raw water. You have to decide whether it's treated water. The current rate that was in the Aqua PPA proposal is $2.94 per thousand, but that's completely tied to the deal.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So forget that number. That number goes out the window. I don't know what it would be. It would be much higher than that, but I don't know what it would
be. Does anybody have an idea? Is anybody?
Well, no. I can guarantee you that it's not going to be
$3.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know that. Probably 30.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably, in all honesty, charge at least $3 a gallon for raw water, just as a guess. As I said, we haven't had any serious discussions with them about it, so I don't know.
We still have to run a pipeline
from Aqua Virginia to
cost prohibitive.
But that may be, over time, maybe the best solution to add on. I am trying to steer a little bit here. I don't care what you decide, really. I just need you some time to decide. But I'm trying to lay out a financial story that we need to get to, too, that's going to maybe drive some of your decision-making. If you want to use an Aqua PPA because you think it's the only way you can get big water and get somebody to pay for it so we don't have to do debt financing up front, then do it. But make sure the deal's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
That's the only issue.
Make sure it's a good deal.
Right. The groundwater study. We've got the money already for that.
Tell us to go.
Why can't this board? That's an option of 250,000 gallons.
We can't do it in a workshop.
We have the potential. I'm not guaranteeing anything. In fact,
I don't need anything other than a yes from you, because this is not a motion that I need. It's already approved. It's already approved in the CIP. I've just been intellectually holding on and not going forward because I haven't had an uh-huh.
We don't even need a motion.
How long would that take? How long would it take for the groundwater study to come in?
You're probably looking at
60 days?
Nah, longer than that. You're probably looking at four to 6 months to get a full.
4 to 6 months.
Midsummer then.
Yeah.
And actually, that would lend itself well. The first part of the study identifies target drilling areas. The mid part of the summer is typically the best time to drill potential production wells, because it is the driest part of the year, and you're going to have the wells at their lowest possible capacity, which is what you want to operate on, so not based on
stuff.
Its maximum. So if we were to start now, we could potentially be ready to drill some test wells in the summer.
While we're waiting for the future.
Mrs. Booker, I would agree with that, except that north of our county, they're getting 400,000 gallons of access a day, all from groundwater. That's what Green Springs produces, 400,000 gallons of water capacity. They don't even tap all eight wells.
And they got eight wells, I think they use.
They only use three or four of them.
Has a hydrological study been produced in the last 20 years for Flavanna?
The one from 1970 has just anecdotal stuff in it, but no, we don't have a hydrological
study. I'm not aware of there ever having been an actual rigorous study where they got down and did field grade work and then identified potential drill sites. I've been unable to find any record of that.
That's in your package.
Is it cost?
In that package, water supply plan.
It does $50,000 is specific to the Zion's Crossroad area.
That was for a couple initial sites, like 25 here and maybe down to the middle center of the county. I mean, we need to look at
more. So it's beyond Zion's Crossroads then?
So you're doing...
Maybe just start and do Zion's Crossroads.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I just think that's that could be 250,000 gallons there. You already said you have someone that's offering a storage tank location for free.
I'm not so sure.
I mean...
But that's on the other line, isn't it?
That's
No. Down the center, down no. the center part of the county, but oh, I'm sorry for up.
No, that would be Zion.
No, there. Yeah, it's just it's the land. The man when we were meeting with him about some economic development, he said basically said if you're going to build a water system, let me know because he was already aware of the topography. He said I own some of the highest land in the region. Let me know, and I'll give you all a tank site. So
aside from capacity, you'll tell us the quality of the water. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so if it looks like it has
so
any kind of...
So if I see the board going up and down like this, we'll move on Zion's Crossroads.
So make about maybe 6 months, but if you start at Zion's Crossroads...
We'll do that first.
Yeah, we would do it first, and probably by summertime, we would be ready to drill at least one well.
Or two or three. Drill several wells.
All depends on how much money we want to spend on it. And of course, if you find
too risky, just one well.
If you find a 500 gallon a minute well on your first try, you tend to stop and develop it first, and then go back and do.
I haven't heard of a 500 gallon.
No, I haven't either.
75 gallon a minute right here.
Hey, I would. This well. I would settle for 75. To be honest with you, in this geology around here, 75 to 100 would be a good well.
What does that equate to in normal terms of gallons per day? Thousands of gallons per day.
Is roughly 60,000 gallons of water a day.
Okay. So that puts you over the top.
And that's assuming you pump the well 12 hours a day instead of 24.
That's the way I would look at it.
You need to manage.
And the study will also tell us not just current draw, but the expected total capacity of the well and the refresh rate and all those kinds
of things. A lot depends on what you want to pay for during the testing phase, but if you do a step drawdown test first, and then follow it with a typical, like a 72 to 96 hour full drawdown test, then you can actually get the specific capacity of the well, the gallons per minute per foot of drawdown, and things like that. And you can kind of graph exactly where you want the well to operate based on how far you want it to draw down. Of course, you also need to spend a little bit of money monitoring offsite wells to make sure you're not having adverse impacts and things like that. But it gets pretty rigorous, but the very first thing you need to do is do the phase one part.
We will hear that. My phone's going to ring on the hook because everything north of 250. And,
of course. Hey. Yeah, you've got that strip up there, above there.
And the people are hollering that you're drawing all the water, and then Louise are going to say you're all drawing the water out of our tanks.
Typically speaking, though, and having been in water and having drilled a well over town Bridgewater, very similar to that, the water characteristics are very different than usually your more shallow wells you use, of course.
Okay.
So that typically, now that doesn't mean that you won't necessarily hit something that bothers somebody.
And that's one reason why you try to, I've typically done in the past is try to find a half a dozen or so existing wells that are in an area that more or less surrounds the well you're testing.
So you don't hurt the same people. If it's bothering a well, you don't hurt the same ones.
You get the permission from the landowner to drop a depth, a data logger down in the well to monitor their drawdown depth, it's accurate enough that when you get the data back from the individual house well, you can see when they ran their washing machine and they drew their well down, and then it comes right back up, but you can also see whether you have a permanent effect on their static water level over time. You'll see their little spikes, but if you see a general trend downward or a serious dip, then you'll know that your pumping is having something to do with having some kind of impact.
So are we giving them a go-ahead to do that?
Now, I urge you not to say go ahead and do all the hydrogeologic testing if you're going to still approve Aqua. Because the $50,000 is going to be needed for something else, unless you want us to do. I mean, I know you can't make that decision right this second.
We can't. I'm not in a position to approve Aqua because we don't have a plan.
But if you're asking them,
we don't have the agreement.
If you're asking for direction and you're looking at heads nodding left and right, I think that's direction.
Well, you're saying that if we say yes, do that, that we can't approve the Aqua.
No, I'm not saying you can't. You just have to go in with your eyes open that if you're going to have us spend $25,000 or $50,000 towards hydrogeologic testing, we need some of the other areas of the county. But whatever money you spend on the northern end of the county to do hydrogeologic testing, if you've already got in mind to do a different deal, then don't let me fiddle around doing stuff I don't need.
What's the cost? I mean, I think it'd be helpful to know some baseline costs on the assumptions of, let's say we find 6 wells, you know, what is the cost of a pumping station for the well? What are the operational costs for those? Those kinds of things. So, you know, we understand that. I mean, just take your assumption. You said 75,000 gallons per minute or 70, what'd you say?
75 gallons
per minute or something.
You'd probably be looking at about $150,000 to develop a pumping station
for each
pumping.
One of those. And you'd have five or six.
As long as it doesn't require some kind of off the wall treatment. But for a typical small sand filter, with chlorination, which is typically what you need for a well around here, at 75 gallons a minute, you're looking to 150 to 200,000 to build the pumping facility itself.
I guess you can't target the drilling locations, but so much, right? Because you're looking for
water. Well, true. So, and then a lot of your construction, it can depend a lot. That's just the pumping facility. Then you've got to pipe it to your system. So if you're a mile from the system, it's a lot more expensive than if you're 500 feet from the system.
And the typical cost of a mile of piping is roughly?
Well, you're probably, for just... Well, can be done with high-density polyethylene, small, probably $30-$40 a foot.
$30-$40 a foot. So another $150,000 or something like that. Yeah. So you could be spending $300,000
to develop. But of course, if you see, one thing that a hydro study can tell you is, well, we don't think you have very much groundwater potential. And that you know, that's bad news. People might think, hey, you wasted your money, but you really didn't because you found out something. You know that you can no longer look to the groundwater for the source.
Yeah. Right.
So we go into it. You typically do it in two phases. You do a phase one, which gets you to getting a judgment from your hydrogeologist as to whether it's worth pursuing groundwater for your particular area. And if he thinks it is, then he'll develop target drilling locations, and from there you move into phase two. So this $50,000 is really it's the phase one part of the study.
Sure.
Well, you know, I think it's a valuable thing to do regardless of what we decide later on about Aqua, because Fuzzy down, and if you're going to do different areas, it would be good information for us. It would be information for our water plan. And
I do see it as an ongoing plan.
And there are companies that
it's needed.
Now there are companies that do this kind of for a living on the fly. They come in and they say, okay, we guarantee we're going to find you water and do this and put the well in and get it started, and you don't pay us unless we produce. Now, there's some cost to doing that, but we've talked to one of those firms, and we're familiar with some of their work. So there may be some alternatives and options to look at if we think that groundwater is a viable alternative to add to what we've got.
So we have appropriations, but we have no actual quotes at this point in time, or do we actually have...
No, we have engineers on retainer already. We will engage with the engineers. Can those guys contract that or subcontract that?
Yes.
Existing engineers? Yeah. But we just needed approval to go ahead with the money you've given them.
I know the devils of the money details. I've been out of line many times before, so I'll be very, very quick. When you drive into Louisa on that water tank, there's a big sign that says Louisa County Business Development, or Zions Crossroad Business Development. And I think from a packaging issue, is there a commitment to go to say Fluvanna is creating a Zions Crossroads Fluvanna Business Development Group, and we have to find out some way to not only get water to it, but infrastructure to it, power, et cetera, and a commitment to attract businesses to it. That missing gap is what causes all the rabbit holes, should we do this, should we do that, should we do this, because there's not a commitment to, or there's not a, are we committed to, this is the area of the county that we are going to develop and help offset the 93.7.
Well, I think that's
we clearly have discussed that in detail so many times over the years, and the conundrum is getting someone to finally say, go.
Go ahead.
Right. Well,
yeah. Make the commitment.
Right.
I think you're getting nodding heads.
The, studies that yeah. answer those questions are there.
Well, I mean, Zion Crossroads is identified in the county's comprehensive plan as a right. planned development.
I think you've got
so.
nodding right. heads on the groundwater.
So let's can we move to finances?
We own most of that.
So we'll go forward with the groundwater study, Zion's Crossroads.
That's what we got.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, everybody. Everybody.
So let's look a little bit at finances, because I want you to have this picture in advance of the budget season two. You know, the VML headlines, the Virginia Municipal League, if you look at their headlines, look at the kind of things that have been on the headlines the last month or two. Money committees project lean state budget. VRS contribution rate increases expected to continue. Mm-hmm. State revenues dip. Localities question if next year's revenues and spending will balance out. It's not just us. This is around the state of Virginia. And Virginia is a pretty well-to-do state, relatively speaking. We already have big debt. There's no getting around it. You've got $100 million in debt, and it's going to be there until 2036. And every year, you've got to pay that debt, and it's not going to even get down to $5 million until 2028. Okay? That's just fact. That's not with any new debt at all. That's existing debt that's there. So you've got to take that into consideration when you're looking at whatever you're funding. Our current debt does reduce our flexibility, because it doesn't give us, we can't do things on the fly as if we could if we had a lot in our fund balance to fund cash project, or that we could adjust tax rates more easily because the debt eats up part of that. The debt eats up a third of the 79.5 tax rate currently. Okay? It just does. It's just fact of what we've got. We have funds in our bank account. I've changed this a little bit too, because I want the yellow and the red to be essentially the money you can't touch. Just remember, the yellow and red is what you can't touch. The green is what you could do something with. But this is not continuous money. This is one-year money. This is money you'd use to fund a project under the CIP or a special project, but not continuing ongoing operations. And while you could change policy on how much you kept, and you could maybe de-obligate projects that haven't gone forward yet, you might be able to find some money there, it's still not an endless well, and it's not a repetitive well, because it's a one-time pot of dollars. The 93.7 is still alive and well. It's not changing. It's still there unless you do something different. This year alone, now this is not just exclusively to fiscal year 15, because some of these things may not have to happen until fiscal year 16. We just don't know yet. But if you just look at the kinds of things that are on the list that we've already been worrying about in finance and in my office, the VRS funding, if that goes forward as it's planned right now, you're talking about $412,000 or $420,000, that's a penny and a half on the tax rate right there that you have to fund, that's new dollars over last year. You won't have a choice. So other school funding, depending on what they want, the Virginia Local Disability Program, the needs for FUSD, continued expansion or change of the contract services, that EMS contract service. I don't know for sure what the costs are going to be next year. We're budgeting for that now. Water solutions. You've got to put something in there for water solutions if you're going to do water systems. Undeferred maintenance. You know how bad our maintenance is, and you're going to see it in spades in the CIP on how many things have been left undone at county buildings across our enterprise. And I don't mean county buildings, I mean county buildings, yes, including schools, all of our buildings that we own as a county. That potential impact, just on the blush side, just a quick rundown, look down through it, that number, those numbers, forget the question marks, add up to 15 to 26 cents on the tax rate. Now, I'm not sure that you're going to have to do all those this year, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just know that I'm already having angst arguments with Barbara and with Eric talking about budgeting and how we're going to be able to get a budget that's valid to present to you on February 5th. It's going to be a tough year. In spite of that, and maybe in addition to that, I still think you're going to have to sooner or later go forward with infrastructure if you want to get out of this hole some way.
It won't get easier.
It's not going to get easier. And if you value these things, if those are the things you value, you're not going to be able to continue to fund those unless you change the mix of where we get our dollars. So you're going to have to make some investments in infrastructure to get business development in the areas where we want, in the way we want, not 1,000 more rooftops, because 1,000 more rooftops is not going to help your bottom line. What you need is business development, commercial development, if you want to get towards that 70-30 tax base. So you can do this in the short term. You can cut spending, you can raise revenues, or you can do both. And this year, you're probably going to have to do a combination of all those. There's probably not any other way around that, because in just talking to you all individually, I hear targets and ideas and things you want to do to stay within, to move above, to move beyond, to fund this, to take care of that. There's a lot of competing requirements. To get the financial resources to fund that infrastructure for business, you're going to have to do something to support Louisiana's long-term growth. You're going to have to invest in infrastructure. And I don't mean you have to do it all in one bite, and I'm not an advocate for biting off more than we can chew. But if you don't start it soon, we're not going to get there. Because what we're doing today is not going to help us do what we want tomorrow. That 93.7 is not going to change unless you make it change. The business growth does not happen overnight. It's not going to happen in the next year, two, three, four, because that's when you're building infrastructure if you proved it tonight. So you've got years before you're going to get big payback from revenue on business, but you're going to have to sooner or later take that step. So where do you get the money to fund what we value most and simultaneously plan for business growth if you want that extra type of revenue into your budget? So let's look at some revenue sources. Remember, the big revenue source is your general property tax. There's lots of different types of taxes that fall in there and in the other local taxes, but you're not getting much from state and federal, and it's not going up. Although there is a whiff potentially that state school funding may go up the following year. Mm-hmm. I'm not betting on it.
Me.
Okay. But it'd be nice if that happened.
And VDOT funding is going down.
Well, VDOT funding's gone up in a lot of ways under the 6-year plan for local kinds of things, but big rock stuff, big rock projects, we're not going to see that. It's going to the Hampton Roads and the Northern Virginias, and that big tax plan that just changed that the legislature passed is just a new way of devolution, you know, of devolving things down to us, and it's going to take care of some of the big rock projects, and it's a different way of collecting money. And there are going to be additional revenues collected from that in the years to come, but it's not as rosy a picture as some would like to make it, I don't believe.
So how much is our penny worth?
Your penny is worth $266,000, thanks for asking. $266,000 on the penny.
It went up.
But that's where you are to your neighbor.
It went up.
Well,
no,
227 is just the 96% collection rate on real estate taxes for residential.
I think with that chart up there, I think and going just forward, really important that as we speak about the challenges that we have coming up, because we have another lever, and that's how the outside community perceives Fluvanna. With the real estate assessment coming up, it's very important that we're positive about the strengths of Fluvanna, mm-hmm. not just the challenges that we have.
Yeah.
And when we talk about 79.5 cents, and clearly we're going to have to raise it, it's not the tax rate, it's a tax burden. And right now our county's tax burden is the second lowest in that group of, I don't know about all of those, but in the majority of those. It's among the second lowest. So I just want to put that out there because I hate to talk about rate without talking about burden, because part of that is we have low property values. And why do we have low property values? Because the perception of the strength of the county is not positive. And I think that the county's messaging has been off for the last couple of years, and that's a lever that we can pull.
Yeah. 300% on the messaging, and we need to be, we have a lot of great things here, a lot of things we can move forward on, a lot of positive stuff, a lot of really good ways we can continue to be better tomorrow than we were today. But I'm not sure that the figures will bear out looking at the tax burden. And it's hard to sell to John Smith or Jane Doe when they're buying a house, when they look at this, and we're in Fluvanna, on an average, on his tax bill of 175, if you compare it all across all those localities, we're the third highest.
Sure, but that's not the median price of each one of those counties.
No, this is median sales price, and it's not the median highest for there. Of course it's not.
Right.
There's the average real estate bill based on median sales price.
Right.
But then it's a hard story to try to explain to somebody, oh, by the way, we don't have BPOL. Oh, by the way, we don't have a meals tax.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we don't have this. But there are a whole bunch more taxes coming here that you may have to affect or change or modify if it makes sense to grow our business environment.
Right.
If you change this year, if you change a penny or two or three or five or 10 or 20 cents on the tax rate, that's what it does to the average homeowner's bill on their real estate taxes. So let's go to 90 cents. It's $100 a year for a person who has a $100,000 home. It's $210 a year, $315 a year. I mean, it's not chump change, but it's also not the most massive increase in known to mankind. Can a person that owns a $200,000 house afford another $1,750 a month? I don't know. I know I've been really, really, really poor and didn't have a pot to pee in, but you know, I don't know how you take it on. But that's a decision. Those are the kinds of hard decisions you all are going to have to make this year and in the years to come. I'm not suggesting that it's not always difficult, but last year was just a different kind of financial year. Personal property tax rate. I know some of you have talked about, well, let's lower that personal property tax rate down. And maybe that's it, but you're going to lose $85,000 for every nickel you lower that. Or you're going to raise $85,000 for every nickel you raise it. The average in the region is 3.382. If you took out the bottom two, it'd be even higher than that. So we're not very far off the norm of, you know, most people around $4 or $5. But that's on personal property. If you look at planning and proffer fees, planning fees and proffers and stuff, and you look at us compared to some of the other counties around here, look at ours. Our proposed proffer numbers are pretty darn low compared to almost everybody. Well, not everybody. The Albemarle and Goochland. Louisa is still really low, but Louisa, it's hard to compare us to Louisa and to Charlottesville. Because Charlottesville is a city and Louisa has a nuclear power plant. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a different environment. But those are our current rates. So what I'm showing you is all the things marked in yellow are things you could affect. You could have changed these dollars because it may be additional revenue sources. And you, in your online package, it has all those slides in there. So we're going to have to probably look at a combination of those things to see what is reasonable to affect and how much dollars that brings if that's something you want to touch. Residential fees, building permit fees, and commercial building permit fees, well, on average, we're right about in the middle. Do we want to go up to Nelson County and Louisa County rates? Maybe. Do we want to go down to Cumberland rates? Probably not. But, you know, maybe there's some there. But you only had, 400 residential building permits last year or something? 460 or 450 a year or something? So it's not like it's huge money, but there's some money.
It was 400 building permits like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Right now, they're like 75.
Well, he's talking about any.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about total. You're talking about new houses, right? New houses. Yeah, that's true. And you can't. It's not just a simple one size fits all because you've got commercial and residential. You've got add-ons, and you've got new construction, and the dollars change in all those. We'd have to do kind of an analysis. If you want to look at residential building permit fees, then we're going to have the folks in the building inspections department look at that, and then come back and tell you what that means in dollars and on impact on people. Commercial, same thing, you're up towards the top end already in commercial. Well, if you're going to be attracting business and you want them to get pretty easy permits to build new businesses, maybe you want to look at that. And if you're going to lower that, the balloon is only this size, and when you push the balloon in here, it pushes out someplace else. So without affecting the revenues or the spending, that balloon is that one size. Erosion and sediment control fees, we're right about in the middle of the pack. That's not big dollars there anyway. How about machinery and tools tax? The average is 257, we're a little below that. Land use exemptions, that's $2.1 or $2.3 million worth of stuff. And I'm not suggesting that we should do away with land use. I'm just telling you that as a potential revenue source, some counties like Buckingham, well, Charlottesville, the city doesn't, but Buckingham doesn't have a land use tax program. They've got a huge county, twice the size of ours, with half the population, and they don't use land use. But they also have lower taxes. This is part of where they make their money. It's a balance on how you want to do it. And you don't have the ability to set the rates on land use taxes that's set by the Commissioner of the Revenue. You just have the ability to say yes, whether we're going to do land use or not do land use, or what rules we'd use for land use.
A lot of their big, pieces of land are commercially owned.
True. And that, it's, the story is different for every county. Right. So you can't just do straight comparisons down these charts. I just wanted you to see a whole bunch of numbers from a lot of different areas and localities. The disabled and elderly exemptions, we do those. We've got motor vehicle taxes and light motor vehicle taxes for motorcycle. And we're right about at the average around the area now. Merchants capital tax. I'd never even heard of that till about 6 weeks ago. Somebody mentioned to me, and I asked Ms. Horlocker about it. She knows about it, but we don't do that. Lots of other places do. Maybe it's another way. It's
is
not,
that like BPO?
No, kind of like, it's a, I don't know exactly how to explain it.
It's more tax on their inventory than on. BPO is more related to your receipts.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, we don't have a meals tax. Could potentially, but then we don't have a lodging tax. I'm not sure what we'd tax on lodging because we don't have any lodging right now. But I mean, public utilities tax, yes. But a couple of prime ones, business license fee. We don't have any type of BPO. So forget BPO for a second. We don't even have a business license fee. You don't have to, like, every second or third year pay $25 for your business license so we know you're actually in business so we can tax you as a business.
And how many businesses, Mel, say we have here? You told us.
Well, the numbers are different.
Yeah, depending on which list you look at, it is a difficult thing, but that's one thing that would support the commissioner's office,
but dollar-wise,
too, by giving them...
How much is that, dollar-wise?
As far as potential revenue?
Yes.
I don't know. We will have...
Because we had some of those before.
Right.
Projections.
And it's not any great... Right. In your package, that 1997 study about alternate revenue sources, right. Look in there, because a lot of these are not big.
But the the more important thing about the business license is you can't measure what you don't know, and we don't really know what our businesses are.
Indeed, and, the very plain old business license fee would be nice just to know what businesses we've got.
I thought Mel said he knew.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Yeah, he gave us a number one time.
He did.
He has a list.
Right.
The chamber has a list. TJPDC has a list.
Yes.
And none of them are accurate completely because it's a complicated issue.
Yeah, because
I mean, there's businesses you just don't know.
And there's some that exist.
Don't exist anymore.
Right.
That's right.
We don't know.
So, I mean, it's not a simple thing, but one of the things that would help the commissioner is having a business license.
Now, the last one, revenue recovery, can be considerable money.
Now, and just off the cuff blush numbers, if you want to start a war in our county, start the process towards revenue recovery. Because I know what's going to happen. I know the people that are going to come out of the woodwork. I know the arguments are going to be there. But we are not the first county that's ever gone through that. It's been done in other counties. We've got plenty of data and history and story about why to do it, why not to do it, how to do the story, how to do the marketing. But it is a potential source of revenue too. Probably in the ballpark of $300,000 to $500,000 a year. But it's not something that's going to help out this year because it'll take... If you proved it through the budget cycle, I'm not sure exactly when we could put it in, but then you've got to have a contractor to do that. Maybe it's a year from now. But there's lots of pros and cons to that, too. I'm not suggesting that's the only thing. I just know that those two are a little less complicated than some of these other ones, and I'm not sure, well, go to the next slide. Some of these may not produce revenue now or even in a year. We just don't know. We'd have to look at each one individually. And some of them may require a referendum, some of them require state legislature approval, some of them require local ordinance changes, and there's a lot of work that has to go into these. But I want you to understand the range of things that's out there, because I think you're going to be looking for revenue sources over time. And maybe that means rebalance. Maybe it means lower the real estate tax rate and raise this rate, because you value doing it that way. I don't know. I'm just suggesting that there are alternatives to doing exactly what we're doing now. You can go this way or that way, but we've got to decide a direction to pay for what you want. So let's look at expenditure cuts. I didn't even do much on this because the only place you're going to get big money from is from staffing stuff, from furloughs, reducing staff, cutting benefits, cutting some services out, like, say, the convenience center, but you're still going to have to pay for the landfill testing for some years to come. That's $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year. So there's some money to be saved there, but you're also affecting... The people in the center and southern part of our county have no place to go to drop their trash off unless they drive all the way north to Vanderlyn or cover up their license plates and go into Buckingham County, so or find a back road.
Decrease maintenance. That's what's going to end up happening.
Yes, I think it would. Decrease maintenance on our buildings. Well, I just want you to come tour one time with Wayne in the basement of our building, just the county admin building, and look in the maintenance room, in the engineering room down there. It looks like a tramp steamer freighter from the 40s. It's that old looking, and that building is only 1972. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's that old.
Come on over to our gym when it rains real hard.
Indeed. There's lots of things in school buildings, county buildings, that we need to maintain.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to cost us more. You can reduce or eliminate like basic training and education costs, but we're talking about thousands of dollars in the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 over the course of a $66 million budget. We're not talking about big money. There are only a few places to get big money from, or like maybe cut big projects, but big projects are usually only one-time money. So a lot of our top issues are interconnected. This was a slide that came from the EDC's Business Development and Strategic Plan. It was in the Zion Crossroads guidebook. We've talked about it before, but all this stuff is interconnected. And if you want to enable economic development, if you want to fund these types of essential services, and you want to stimulate growth so you can fund something different in the future, you've got to remember that these are tied together. People come here because of jobs. They come here because of low-cost housing. They come here because we've got great recreation. They come here because we've got fantastic education, fantastic schools, or they don't for all those reasons. And you've got to keep those in mind. We need to be really serious and committed about economic development. Now, you've got Mr. Popowitz on board, and unleash him. But you can't really expect him to bring massive business in unless you put infrastructure underground that he can set business on top of. That's just the way it's going to be. You can't change that much. We can reach out and be nice to all the local businesses and go to chamber events and you know, give the award for business of the year in our county, but it's not affecting the business, the dollars in your tax base, because all it is our existing small mom and pop. Good businesses, good viable things, but it's not bringing other jobs in. Tourism, I just want to show you this one little blip here. Grayson County's way down 81, down the southern line of Virginia. I found this searching on the web a while back and found this link. Where'd it go, Jonathan?
Jonathan's gone too.
It went with Jonathan.
Jonathan just left.
Okay, let's see. Let's go.
I'm excited to take away Blue Ridge Parkway, and we have most of the things that you just saw on that screen.
Yeah, well, that kind of my point is, it's just a little 30-second blip, and it's just a little tourism thing. But the Blue Ridge Parkway's right there.
Yeah.
How many other things on there did you see that we don't have? We've got Monticello, Pleasant Grove House, the Old Stone Jail, the Historic Courthouse, and Montpelier, all in kind of a trail. And eventually, this Highway 53, Highway 15, Highway 20 circle is going to be one of those weekend routes that people do en route. They can go down to, maybe eventually, some down to Bremo. You know, there's a thousand things to see in Columbia. You can go down, I mean, we have historic things.
The wineries.
The wineries now. We've got one already in place, another one getting ready to open in this next year. There are things we can do. But again, you've got to be willing to spend a little bit of money on unleash those kinds of things, because you've got to tell the story of what we are. I don't know where my other slides are.
What I saw was the rivers, and we got two wonderful rivers.
Sure did.
We got two wonderful rivers.
We got three great rivers. The Hard Rush is really small, but it's fun to go through. Yep.
And it's got trout to fish.
Look at the confluence of the Point of Fork down in Columbia, between the confluence of the Columbia and the James. They've already got canoe stuff at Scottsville that comes down that way. Well, maybe some months out of the year, those guys will contract with us to come up to Pleasant Grove to run canoes or rafts from Pleasant Grove to Palmyra and take them out there by 2J's down here. Everybody's thought of things like that. What I'm suggesting is that we have a bigger story than just bedroom community, and we have things that we want to be and want to do, and you all have to make decisions on how to fund those. If I can get back to my
We don't have a real good brand, though, do we? We don't have much of a brand at all. We don't have a brand. We don't have anything that draws you.
But let Bobby and a committee of citizens create a brand.
We need a brand. Let a live like Java. Live longer, better.
Think of a triangle. The things that people know about us are going to know: Pleasant Grove, Camp Friendship, yeah. FUMA. I mean, you've got three pretty important things. You've got lots of things we can do in here, but you've got to be committed to that, and you've got to let staff work on those kind of things and then get citizens involved with teams with us so we can go. You've got to boost economic development prospects by putting some infrastructure in place. And I'm not an advocate for doing it all at once, because I don't think you can. I really don't think, and staff doesn't think, that we have the resources to be all things to all people and do it at once. But you're going to have to start eating that elephant sooner or later. You got a new board, got new ideas, you got a different mix, you've got some big rock issues you're facing, you've got lots of priorities that need to be set. That off-site planning is meant to get you, you will have had your budget briefs a couple days before that, then you're doing your off-site planning. That's meant to get you ready for budget season and get you ready for a plan for you to carry out, for us to carry out on your behalf for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you that the staff and boards, commissions, committees, the ones you appoint people to all the time, we all need direction.
Okay.
I don't mean to be too critical, but I mean, I feel like for the last year and a half, we've been kind of doggy paddling in place. If you've got a big vision, let us know what it is. We'll work on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the last steps, just we all just got an email, internet and broadband.
Yes, I saw that.
You know, I don't have to turn my cell phone on in this building, off in this building, because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm more in the center of Palmyra. So, you know, when you're looking at business,
that's a big thing in rural counties for our families and for business.
And it's nothing that we can control. We've approved, and we were talking about this earlier, how many cell towers last year? Dozens. Not a one has been built.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Correct.
You know, which is holding up E911. It's a serious problem.
Well, the E911 was actually separate potential towers, but truly, you have approved a lot of cell towers recently, and from the day you approve them, doesn't mean they're going to be built tomorrow. But it is an iterative process, and we're hoping we're moving on that. Yeah. But you're going to have to also start pulling back permissions when they've sat there for too long. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All we've done is
didn't we approve of a time frame on that?
2 years.
Yeah.
So all we did 2 years, it's gone.
The planning department will be looking those. They'll bring those things, and it'll take it to the planning commission. When you've got things that are there, you're going to have to reengage with the applicant. And if there's not sufficient movement, if you don't think it meets the needs of our county, then you pull the off.
We have the same thing on SUPs, and we haven't been looking at that either.
Well, that in that case, that covers the same thing, the rules on SUPs.
But the bottom line is we haven't done that.
No.
In 2 years, we haven't pulled an SUP.
No.
We have not pulled any back, but I don't think the problem is quite as, I don't think the problem is quite as bad as like there's thousands out there that need to be pulled and done.
I can name five right off the top of my head.
What are you talking about? Cell towers?
No, SUPs.
You know, you've made all these comparisons.
You do an SUP for the cell tower.
You've made all these comparisons, but you haven't made one comparison that I would like to see, is that debt per individual in the surrounding counties. In other words, how does our debt, how's that 99 or 100 million compared to the debt per capita?
That doesn't come out
on the other
March
counties.
When does the debt per capita come out?
Around March. I mean, I can give you what last year.
We can give you the last year's figure, so we'll pull that up.
Okay.
Yeah, last year's was
going to be much higher
because we compared with Albemarle. I think our median income was below Albemarle, and our per debt capital
If it's possible, I'd like to see that broken down with counties that made substantial infrastructure investments.
Right.
You know, because
you're going to get is Northern Virginia.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think that other places.
Anyone close to our debt.
Maybe build a courthouse or.
But anyone close to our debt is Northern Virginia. So
that's what I'd like to see.
But neither here nor there, that number's a number.
It's a number, sure. It is a number, exactly.
Yeah. So. That's what.
It's not going to change our decision.
So there is a lot of future stuff. Everybody's talked about the good things we have here and the fun things we can do and the where we're going. But it takes cash to do that. If you want to fund programs, you're going to have to find the resources. I can tell you, this fiscal year, you can't stay on the path you were last year and fund the things that are required without changing revenues or expenses. Mm-hmm. Just the way it's going to be.
Right. But I think Tony hit the nail on the head. That doesn't cost a penny. And that was positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way we promote ourselves
promotion
is important.
And that starts at our meetings.
Yes, absolutely.
And it goes up when we leave the building.
And when we talk to the public.
And that doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't. And every time we have an opportunity to be in front of the media, when you say, here's why Flavanna is a great place to live.
Absolutely.
We need to talk about of value, the value of our history and the value of our county, and all the progress
and that goes for
that
we've
the
public
already
too.
Made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gotta so, have to pause. I had a little exercise I was going to do is appreciative inquiry. And we talked about what we valued about Flu Vanna, what our vision for Flu Vanna for the future, and those kinds of things. And I know they're around this table, we all may have different things, but we're pretty much on the same path. And if this doesn't push us to do economic development, when we look at all of this, then it'll be the same story next year, next year, next year.
You know, I can't sit here any longer and not say what I have to say. Mm-hmm. We talk about if it gets up to 70-30. That sounds good, and it sounds like there's some panorama that everything is going to be hunky-dory and real estate's going to stabilize or maybe reduced. But there is one thing that's a fact, and a lot of people don't want to accept this, and some people don't want to hear about it. But the composite index is going to reduce revenue from education as more businesses and all ferment in this county. It's going to be reduced. We never talk about the other side of it. We only talk about the revenue part of it, how much better it's going to be. I really don't know if it is or not. To me, it's almost a wash. I'm not against business. But it's going to be, there's going to be some taken off that backside.
Well, why shouldn't it be?
Well, if that gives you a neutral figure, though.
Yeah, say. Right. But if we can afford, if we are making the money and we can afford to support our schools and all of our core services, why should the state give us money, which they should be giving to other areas that can't do the things?
That's not the issue.
The issue is offsetting it. You're not taking from, you're not getting from the state anymore. You're generating revenue in the county, which is a wash.
You're not gaining. It takes it off the backside. No one wants to talk about it because we're going to have to make that up.
You're spending
local money. And how we're going to make it up? We're going to make it up with more business.
Well, it is a cycle. You're right. But the problem is, you know, the days of the state taking care of our problems, that's not happening. They're pushing it all towards us.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, they have been.
And they have been.
The only thing, and I do agree, we have control of our destiny.
We do have control of our destiny. And this story isn't an old story. This story has been told for 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 years. I mean, Davenport told you your tax rates were going to go above a dollar in 2009. You know, and here we are talking about that, right?
One note, I didn't realize, the LCI is a complicated number, and the formula to create it is complicated, when it changes now, I think ours is actually supposed to get better in our favor a little bit, but it may be a couple of years before we see any dollars.
2016, because we're working on a 2009 LCI. It doesn't get around there.
But the LCI, one of the components of the LCI,
is property value.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we fought with in Caroline County when I was in your position was the fact that land use is actually one of the biggest things that affects that. When you have a land use and you have a tax rate and all that stuff, it affects it. It affects that they take that into account into the formula, and it affects that.
And your income.
Because we were higher than Spotsylvania, which had the businesses and those types of things in the residential. Ours was higher than theirs, so we had to pay more per capita because of our land use policy.
Right. Well, but not. That's not 100%. The reason. Either.
Oh, no, it's
no, no,
just
no,
one
no.
piece of it.
That's something like piece. 5 or 6 different measurements. So that's one measurement. I mean, sales tax is another measurement.
Sure.
Family income is another. There's a multitude of measurements. It's not just one thing.
No,
but all I'm saying is you need to recognize that money is going to be taken away from you from the state, and you're going to have to replace it. That's all I'm saying. And whether the other states, we shouldn't take any money from the state, that's not the issue. It's what we have to face when this happens. And a lot of people don't ever want to talk about that. They want to see that as all plus money, and it's not all plus money. That is a fact.
So what did you suggest we do? What's the solution?
Do the best we can and try to live within our budget. And yes, taxes are going to have to be raised some. But the big question is not whether they have to be raised some. The question is, how much are they going to be raised this year?
So you're saying don't do economic development. We do a little bit of it so that the state of...
I would very much consider DOC. I mean, I think you crawl before you walk. And I think everybody wants
That's
everything.
That's what we've been doing for years.
No, we haven't even been
We have been crawling.
We're done.
I want to walk.
That's right.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. The real question is, where are the defibrillators?
I'm certified.
So, where are the defibrillators?
That's why I'm sitting next to you.
Staff advice is, start eating now. Because if you want to get to a different place than where you are, you're going to have to do business a little differently. And I completely am frazzled about trying to be able to present you a budget that's not outrageously high with the things we just want to do. But it is just the reality where we are this year. And if you want to change the basic tax mix, you're going to have to work on infrastructure.
Get out there and start digging holes.
So now is when we were going to start the discussion, so I think we're done with that part.
Maybe, let me ask, you said you are going to send this to us?
Yes, ma'am. I'll send you this. Some of the basic, all those sums of the numbers in there are in on your iPads already, but I'll send you this slide presentation.
All right. Now, when we have our retreat...
And this all this will go to Mike Chandler in advance. He's getting some stuff from me in advance, so he'll know
before
the offset.
Did you turn in your thing?
Yeah, Mike. We could go from 10 down.
Will we be solving these problems with Mike? Some of them.
I doubt that you will decide on which exact thing to fund, but what you'll decide is what you want to do, what you're going to go forward with over the next 2 years. And I'm hoping you're going to say a pretty specific direction on this, and this.
Okay. All right. We're getting ready to close the meeting, but I'm going to close down these little conversations on the side.
Some, get a motion from somebody.
You shouldn't have moved me that far away.
Motion
from
you.
When I was sitting beside you, I had to
begin. I'd like to make a comment before we adjourn.
Yes,
I'd like
please.
To congratulate Mr. Spoker and Mr. Ullenbrook on leading a successful first meeting.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you all.
It was very good.
Do I have adjourned?
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
All right. It has been moved by Mr. Sheridan.
Mr. Ullenbrook. Seconded by Mr. Sheridan.
Mr. Ullenbrook moved.
Mr. Ullenbrook and Mr. Weaver seconded the motion that we would adjourn.
Do we have that?
Y'all go
hit
home.
Hit the gavel.
Go home in peace.
Get pulled over again.